And welcome to 99% Effective. I am one of the co-hosts, Tisha. George, who usually joins me, is not able to come today, but we did not want to postpone this recording because it's a really great topic about toilet training. So we thought we'd go ahead. We're going to miss George, but he'll be back with us next month. And I hope everyone is doing well and excited about the recording that we're going to do today on toilet training and with our guest, Ashley Hickey. Ashley attended Northeastern University, and she was clinically trained in applied behavior analysis at the Emory Autism Center, which is at Emory University. She worked as a preschool teacher and a family provider. Ashley specializes in training children with autism spectrum disorders, but has potty trained hundreds of children of all different abilities. Ashley wrote and published a guide titled Tips from a Potty Training Expert, Getting Your Child on the Right Path to Potty Training. Ashley has been featured in Parents Magazine, New Parent Magazine, the Chicago Tribune, Care.com, and Autism Support Network. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I have lots of questions, so I'm just going to get right into it.
Great.
So first of all, what made you get into the field of potty training?
Well, it's a bit of a long story, but when I was at the Emory Autism Center, we potty trained all the children who came through the program. So I did that for 6 years. And then when we moved to Connecticut so that my husband could attend grad school, mm-hmm. I realized there was nothing like it in this area. So no one was providing potty training services like they were at Emory. So from there, I started my own business and have been doing it for the last 20 years. I have potty trained kids all throughout the Northeast. I've traveled all across America and even to the UK to potty train kids.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And yes, I can attest to that. It was brutal. I mean, hopefully my son won't hear this podcast, but it was not an easy time in our house.
I understand.
Get him potty trained. It was tough.
I have three children of my own, and mm-hmm. my two girls were the two hardest kids I've ever had to potty train. And I've potty trained 18-year-old boys who are nonverbal and autistic, and they were easier than my typically developing three-year-old. So I completely understand from both mm-hmm. the teacher and the parent perspective.
Right. And I have, you know, my son's on the spectrum, and then I have my typical son, and he was just as tough. You know, peeing in the corner, it was absolutely a struggle. And I know when I was looking at your website, I saw that you have a program called Intensive Potty Training. Can you tell us what that is?
Sure. So there's lots of information about potty training out there. Lots of books, lots of opinions. Everyone seems to have their own way of doing potty training. Oftentimes, when those parents have tried all of those different methods and tips and techniques that they have researched, but still haven't had any luck, that's when they come to me. That's what I do, is intensive potty training with these children who just haven't been successful with any other methods. And the way that it works is, although it sounds a little bit scary, it's a lot of fun for the kids. What we do is we set up the bathroom so that we have anything and everything that we need. And the reason for that is to make it easy for the child to get to the potty. I'm not locking them in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. We're just hanging out in the bathroom with lots of toys, activities. If they like to paint or do Play-Doh, they'll have lots of snacks and drinks. They'll have everything they need. So they really don't have a reason to leave the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So we're camped out in the bathroom, and there are three phases to the intensive process. And this is what was developed at Emory and what I've continued to use throughout my business mm-hmm. is their intensive program. There are three phases. The first phase, the child is sitting on the potty for 10 minutes. They're off the potty for 5 minutes. So this really just gives them many opportunities to learn to pee in the potty, which can be the most difficult thing for a child to learn, is how to physically make himself go pee. The most important part of the intensive training is that we use positive reinforcement. So every time mm-hmm. the child has a success, they get a highly motivating reward. A reward is something that they would climb a mountain to get. So the first phase, we're really working on teaching the child how to physically make himself go pee in the potty when he's sitting on the potty. And then every time he goes, he gets a highly motivating reward. The second phase, which is 5 minutes on the potty, 10 minutes off the potty, is when he starts to work on self-initiation.
Mm-hmm.
So by that point, he will have learned how to make himself go pee. So the second phase, we start working on self-initiation. Keep in mind, we're still in the bathroom, so we're very close to the toilet, so it's easy for him to get there without obstacles in the way. But then in order for him to move on to the third and final phase, he has to have self-initiated and been successful in the potty. And the self-initiation can be pointing to the potty, looking at the potty. It can be bringing his rewards to me or giving them to me or trying to access them. I had one mm-hmm. little boy who would knock on the bathroom door when he had to go to the potty. So, you know, kids can get creative when it comes to communicating their need to go. The third and final phase is when we start to move outside the bathroom. So he has to recognize that he needs to go, communicate the need to go, and then get to the potty in time. The goal of the training is to have the child wear underwear full time,
mm-hmm.
sit on the potty, pee in the potty, and self-initiate to the potty. And it typically takes about 4 days of the intensive training.
Okay.
And that's why it's so appealing, because some of these parents have been trying for years and have had no success.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the intensive potty training program, I don't like to use the word guarantee, but there's, you know, a 98% chance that your child will be trained at the end of this program.
That's awesome. So how do you incorporate bowel movements?
With many children, because they're spending so much time on the potty, bowel movements will come with the urine training, because mm-hmm. the intensive training really does focus on the urine training. Because they are having lots of opportunities to sit on the potty, bowel training will often come with it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I've even worked with kids who are already bowel trained or already willing to poop in the potty but will not pee in the potty, which is
gotcha.
Highly unusual. And it baffled me, but there are kids who do that. If bowel training doesn't come during the intensive training, then I can talk parents through how to do bowel training. It's a pretty mm-hmm. straightforward process. I can either talk the parents through how to do it, or I can do it for them.
Right.
But as I said, it's a pretty straightforward process. It's important to determine when the child typically has a bowel movement. Is there a time or a place, an activity, a food? You know, what is it that is affiliated with when he
right.
typically has a bowel movement? And then about 5 minutes before he typically has a bowel movement, you want to get him settled and comfortable on the potty before the urge comes. With many kids, if you see that they're off in the corner of getting ready to poop and you pick them up and rush them to the potty, mm-hmm. there's a good chance they're not going to finish on the potty. So if
right,
you get them
right.
on the potty before the urge comes, then you'll have a much better chance of them just relaxing
mm-hmm.
Enough to go. And then obviously once they go, it's followed by a highly motivating reward
mm-hmm.
to reinforce the behavior.
And to piggyback on that, what about nighttime? So people can be successful during the day and then their children are having accidents while they're sleeping.
Right. That's very common too. Surprisingly, many kids have the capability to be trained, fully nighttime trained by the age of 3. They're physically mm-hmm. capable. They just aren't because they're wearing a diaper or a pull-up. So there's mm-hmm. no reason for them to stay dry at night. What I recommend is having the child wear underwear to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another scary process that you're that
get that plastic mattress cover.
Exactly. Get some plastic sheets. It's okay if your child wears a pull-up or a diaper or even a reusable swim diaper
mm-hmm.
over his underwear so that he still feels when he's wet.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't soak the entire bed.
Yep.
But many kids are already holding it all night long, as I said. Mm-hmm. But they don't have to because mm-hmm. they're wearing their pull-up. So they wake up and they pee right in their pull-up.
Right.
So the only way for you to really know is trial and error. You need to put them in underwear, especially if they already wake up sometimes dry. Go ahead and put them in underwear and then tell them if they wake up dry, they can have ice cream for breakfast or
right,
some
right.
other highly motivating reward.
Mm-hmm.
If you're convinced that your child cannot hold it all night long, there are a couple things that you can do. Some parents have found success in waking up their child maybe when they go to bed. Let's say their child goes to bed at 8, the parent goes to bed at 11, and the parent will get the child up at 11, have them sit on the potty, they'll pee, they'll go right back to bed and sleep for the rest of the night. I think that's an absolute miracle, and I would never would have done that as a parent,
right?
But it has been successful. And it's amazing to me that they have been able to do that. If your child is one of those great sleepers who will go right back to sleep, then I recommend doing mm-hmm. something like that, getting them up in the middle of the night. You can also determine if they need to go in the middle of the night but are scared or afraid of leaving their bed or their room. Mm-hmm. And you can offer a special lantern or flashlight that they can take to the bathroom if it's across mm-hmm. the hall. Or you can even put one of the little training potties next to their bed in their room. Mm-hmm. That way they don't mm-hmm. even have to leave their room. It's usually laziness, or they haven't had the opportunity, or they are afraid of leaving their room. Those are usually the three reasons why kids aren't nighttime trained. So determining what the reason is, and then you can figure out which way to go with that. But as I said, most kids are physically capable of doing it by the time they're age 3, unless mm-hmm. there's a family history of bedwetting or the child has a really small bladder.
Right, right. So as I mentioned earlier, we definitely struggled with it. And my son is now 24, so you weren't around just then, or you were just starting, no. You know, and there wasn't a lot. I think I read an article once, and I actually did it for both my kids, both boys. I put Cheerios in the toilet and said, aim. It's a Cheerios. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they made a game, and it actually worked. You know, it wasn't
sure.
100%, but it was something. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah, you mentioned the age 3, and I can still remember feeling like such a failure, because you hear parents, oh, my child was completely trained by 2.5 or whatever, you know, like just putting that, you know, that gold star on their kids. And it's hard for parents. So what is the age that you start talking about it, incorporating it, doing this? What is the best age to begin the process?
Ideally, you want to start the process between the ages of 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
When they're younger than 2, they're so crazy and irrational that mm-hmm. it's really difficult for them to grasp the idea and to sit on the potty for long enough for something to happen.
Right.
And as I said, with the intensive program, 10 minutes is about the max that you have the child sit. And mm-hmm. that's really tough for a child that's younger than 2. On the other hand, if the child is over 3, it doesn't mean that it's too late to train them.
Right.
So I think it's easiest to do it between the ages of 2 and 3, but if they're 3.5 or 4, it doesn't mean they can't be trained. Mm-hmm. It just might take a little bit more time the older they are, because they're more set in their ways.
Right.
What we're doing during potty training is breaking habits of peeing whenever, wherever,
mm-hmm.
and then teaching them the new skill of peeing only in the potty. I work with, it's been children, I've actually trained children who are 18 months because their parents really want them to be trained, mm-hmm. or the school needs them to be trained, or
right,
they're gonna go
right,
on a
right.
trip, but mm-hmm. it's not ideal. So I usually like for them to be at least 2. And I've worked with kids up to age 18.
Okay.
So it's never too late.
Right.
As long as the child is showing skills of readiness and has some simple skills, then they can be trained. You know, there's so many times that I've been contacted by families who, you know, have given up and feel like their child mm-hmm. will never be trained
mm-hmm.
and still in diapers at 16, but it's because their child hasn't been given the opportunity to have enough successes for them to learn for it to truly become
their commitment. It's a commitment to, if you really want them to do this, it's a commitment of your time and the family and everyone in the house.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I always point out, that your child can show signs of readiness, but it's really important that the parent is also ready
right.
to commit to the process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So starting and stopping will just make it more difficult and harder the next time you start. So it's mm-hmm. it's best to commit and keep on until you get where you want them to be.
Is it easier when there's an older sibling to train a child, or is it all just so individual?
Not
you
at
hear
all.
That.
Totally
you say,
individual.
oh, my older, you know, because they watch their older sibling, or, but it really doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't make a difference whether they have older siblings. It doesn't make a difference if they're male or female.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about personality. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, in my family, my son was trained just over 2 years old. I trained mm-hmm. him in one day. Then I needed to train my second child. She needed to be trained so she could go to preschool by age three. Mm-hmm. And I sat down to do the exact same thing that I was going to do with my son. About 30 minutes in, I was like, okay, we're not doing this. Because her personality is so different.
It's like when you try to teach your 16-year-old how to drive. Oh yeah. My neighbor would do it.
Oh, yeah. My third child missed her first year of preschool because she refused to potty train.
Mm-hmm.
When I told her that there were no more diapers, she said, okay, that's fine. I'll just wear this one forever.
Yeah.
So she wasn't trained until she was four. So that debunks the myth that if you have a sibling, that it's easier. And if mm-hmm. you are a girl, that it's easier.
Right. Yeah.
None of those are true. It really depends on the personality.
So now I know you were talking about the intensive potty training, but how do you do that with somebody with a disability and cognitive where they may not comprehend what you're trying to do with them, or somebody who can't sit still, and you know, so how do you do that and change it, because it is personalities and then there's a disability also in the mix? So how do you work with that?
So are you asking about how I do it or how a parent would do it?
I guess how you would do it, and then maybe okay. some ideas for parents.
Okay. So, you know, I bring a bag of tricks. I bring an mm-hmm. entire suitcase full of toys and activities and games, because someone else's toys are always better than your own. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. And I come into it as someone that we're just going to play and we're going to learn how to use the potty.
Mm-hmm.
And many times parents will say, there's no way my kid will sit for 10 minutes. But that's why I come with my bag of tricks, because if mm-hmm. they're getting antsy or they don't want to sit, then I can pull out the next thing that's out of the bag, you know, kind of as a distraction. It's okay to distract them while they're sitting on the potty. If they really are desperate to leave the bathroom and go run around the house, mm-hmm. then I'll tell them, as soon as you pee in the potty, we can go run around the house. You can run around naked if you want. All the kids that I work with, I ensure that they have the cognitive ability to understand simple phrases, understand instructions, understand mm-hmm. cause effect. So they really need to be at a developmental level of about 2 years old.
Okay.
You know, if it's less than that, they don't have the cognitive ability.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 20 years, I've only had one or two children who have been below a 2 year old level that I haven't been successful with, because they're mm-hmm. just, the one specifically that I'm thinking of is a 21-year-old who was functioning at about a 12-month-old level. She wasn't walking.
Gotcha.
And she was about 200 pounds, so I couldn't physically lift her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's really those extreme cases that I haven't been successful. But, you know, giving them, making sure they have everything that they need so they don't have to get up and leave or, you know, go to another room mm-hmm. to get something or do something mm-hmm. because they've got it all right there, ready and waiting for them, so that they can have it if they want it. And as I said, giving them multiple opportunities to allow them to physically pee in the potty gives them the ability to learn what they need to do. It's learning by doing is
mm-hmm.
really the best way of explaining how they learn it. But as I said, they really need to have a basic level of understanding to understand the process. And, you know, that's 98% of the kids that I work with. It's very few that don't have that ability. And usually when they don't have the cognitive ability, that potty training isn't really at the top of the parents' list anyway.
Right, there's, right.
You know, a lot of other needs
exactly.
that come before that.
So when you're potty training, obviously older kids, they're going to sit on a regular size toilet.
Mm-hmm.
When you're with the younger kids and doing the intensive potty training, are they in one of the little potty trainers, or are they on the regular toilet with like a little stool? It doesn't matter.
It depends on the child. Yeah.
Okay.
The beauty of the training potty is that it can be anywhere. We can use mm-hmm. it in their bedroom. We can be in the playroom. We can be in mm-hmm. the kitchen, wherever the child wants to be or likes to play. We can just set up there. It doesn't have to be in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
With the older kids, if they can sit on the regular toilet and their feet rest on the floor, then they don't mm-hmm. need anything else. If gotcha. They're too short, then I recommend, it's called a 2-in-1 family mm-hmm. potty seat. So it's a regular toilet seat that you replace your current toilet seat with. Mm-hmm. A regular toilet seat that has a smaller seat that folds down over the regular toilet seat, mm-hmm. make the hole smaller. And then, you know, when an adult needs to use it, they just flip it up and it sticks to the lid.
And what is that called? Because we'll find that and put a link in our show notes.
Great. It's a family potty seat or a 2-in-1
okay.
toilet seat. If you put those in, you'll definitely find it.
Awesome.
All places have it too. Mm-hmm. But, and again, if your child's feet don't touch the floor, you want to provide a step mm-hmm. that just allows them to feel stable enough that they can, you know, sit there for 10 minutes.
Right.
I also like to recommend having a table that they can use as a play surface while they're sitting on the potty.
Mm-hmm.
So a TV tray type table yeah. is a perfect example. It serves two purposes. It can be a play surface, but it can also prevent them from just jumping off the potty the second
right.
they start to pee if they're freaked out.
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
if it's harder for them to sit, then it's a natural barrier. So again, we're not strapping them down to the toilet or making them stay. It just encourages them to
right.
stay on the potty.
So I have two more questions that I can think of. So if you're doing it for the younger kids with the little potty that you can put anywhere in the house, the bedroom, the living room, how is it a difficult transition if they're good to go on that, but then transitioning them to a regular toilet?
Depends on the child. It can okay. be a tough transition because it oftentimes looks different. It can be loud, you know, there's mm-hmm. water in it that can splash you. So there can be a lot of issues with that for some kids who have trouble with changes mm-hmm. in routine. Other kids are just like, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that you don't really know until you try.
Okay.
But you want to be prepared to give them a reward just for sitting on the regular toilet.
Mm-hmm.
If they need to start there, if they won't sit, or maybe they won't even go near the regular toilet, that's fine. You want to desensitize them to it. So mm-hmm. even if they walk into the bathroom near the regular toilet, you can reward that behavior. Like
it, gotcha.
You figure out your starting point with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how you know when you need to reward your child in order to get them to the next step.
So the last question is about regression. You, mm-hmm. you know, say something traumatic happens to a child, a death in the family, a divorce, a change, just any major change, and a child regresses. You hear that. Mm-hmm. A lot. Is it easy just to get back to where they were, or sometimes you have to start from square one again?
Another one that really depends on the child, but I have certainly seen the regression. Typically, it's as simple as starting from the beginning with positive reinforcement. As long as you're using the right positive reinforcement, then they're going to move pretty quickly. It's kind of like bicycle, you know, learning to ride a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Once you learn, you know what you're supposed to do.
Right.
It's all about the motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you know, if your child just became a big sister or a big brother,
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
caused a regression because they want to be like the baby, then it's really important to explain the difference between, you know, you're a big boy and this is the mm-hmm. baby. The baby wears diapers. Big boy wears underwear, and give them the opportunity to at least sit on the potty again.
Yep.
You don't even have to expect them to pee in the potty.
Right.
But give them the opportunity to sit on the potty and then reinforce that with a highly motivating reward.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you figure out where your starting point is.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean that they won't get trained again.
Yeah. Your example of bike riding, I think, just hits the nail right on the head. That they know how to do it. It's just a matter, you know, maybe for adults, it's getting back to the gym.
You know? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Going, you know, you used to walk every day and then you stopped because whatever. And then you're like, oh, so those are really good examples. So mm-hmm. that's good to know.
They need the motivation to do it.
Yeah.
And putting them back in a diaper, mm-hmm. there's no motivation
right.
there.
Yeah.
They're wearing the toilet, so there's no reason to use the toilet. So
right.
that's the first thing that you don't want to do is put them back in a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
Have them wear underwear and then slowly reintroduce sitting on the potty and then peeing
yep.
in the potty, like just step by step, and
mm-hmm.
they'll get back into it. Especially if they're doing it to get what they really want. And that's really important when it comes to kids with special needs, is even typically developing kids, potty training becomes a power struggle. And many kids, especially mine, were not going to do it because I wanted them to do it. Mm-hmm. They're going to do it to get what they want. That's what the reason for using positive reinforcement is, to do it for the item, not for the parent or the adult, because that's not going to work.
Right. Absolutely. Have you heard of, and I'm just thought of another question, so I apologize, behavioral issues where there's maybe something going on and the child's nonverbal, and then all of a sudden they're having toileting issues and they never did before? You know, is that something that you come across, or parents?
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely. And again, it's figuring out what the issue is. What's the cause of them refusing to use the toilet? And it could be something as simple as the toilet seat is cold, or there's a noise in the bathroom that they don't like, or they don't like it when it flushes automatically. There's like, there's so many different things that as parents, we don't always see. That can be bothering them, because it's just like, just use the potty already. What's the problem? It could be something very specific, like they don't like how the water splashes them all of a sudden, or you know, something triggered that. So it's really trying to determine what it is that is causing them to not want to do this behavior.
Yeah. So it could be a conversation with your pediatrician. It could be a conversation with the school. It could be different conversations to try to figure that out.
Definitely. And I'm here to help too. You know,
absolutely. And we have your information in the show notes, and some other information, you know, because there's just great information that you gave us. And we definitely have your website. And on your website, that's where people can find the tips from a potty training expert. And some other things that you mentioned, we'll also put in the show notes. But thank you so much for your time. I think the work you do is amazing, and you've helped so many families. So just thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
As always, you can find our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the Starting website. On any Amazon or Alexa-enabled devices, you can ask Alexa to play 99% Effective, Sarah Solutions podcast. And let us know what you want to learn more about. If you have an idea or topic, let us know. We would love to hear from you.